morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 34, verse 3. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. He is our high priest. He is the one who intercedes for us and present himself on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, that now in thy presence we are pure, clean, perfect because of Christ in our heart. So as a church body, we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. And as a church body also, we want to give testimony that you have left for us a day during the entire week, one day set apart for you to worship you, to proclaim you, to testify about your splendor and glory, about your kindness and tenderness, and about your justice. Thank you, Lord, that in everything you have thought about it and provide for your people. As a church body, we have few members and friends of our church that need your hand of mercy. We pray for Grace Bergman, for Raquel, my wife, for Mrs. Forrest, for Ann Pareto, for our brother McDowell, for Mary and Jerry in West in Costa Rica, for Dr. McCormick and seeing his improvement. We praise your name. Lord, also, I thank you that we have come to almost a complete done with our plans for the new project, and soon will be in the hands of thy people for their examination, and we pray that each one will pray and then make observations if necessary, so that when we submit this plan to the city, we may find favor in the committees and in all the details, and that the approval and the permits and everything will go according to that thy precious will. Bless even those who will be in charge of reviewing and looking into our drawings. Lord, I have received about 10 calls on people who are panicked because of the errors in doctrinal teaching in different places of America. We thank you, Lord, that through the internet and through our radio broadcasts and KKMC, we can reach those areas and we can provide at least crutches for those people to stand and to review their life in view of your word. Lord, what a time we live when the Church of the Living God has left the basic doctrines of God for something else. Perhaps popularity. Perhaps they want to become part of the world and their show. And Lord, this church is not a show. This is the place of worship. The place where we come seriously and saying to you, we love you. And also for those who do not know you, we hope that our explanation of the scripture through the power of the Spirit may convict them and may they also find the same thing that we found. Lord, we hear on the news about the country of Peru and the devastating earthquake. Being from the south, Lord, I know that those earthquakes can wipe out cities when the volcano strategic soil moves. And so, Father, we pray for those who are being rescued. We pray for the families who we see on television in pain because some of their family members have died. Lord, bless them and touch them in a very special way. And Lord, may this occasion be used by the local churches as a means to provide the comfort from the living God. Lord, we pray for our missionaries. Each one of them has a function in different aspects of life, a complete diversity in their work. Fred and Carol Lewis, Carol and Ruth Knott, and we thank you, Lord, that all the tickets, hotels, everything have been arranged for our brother Knott to be here with us for the anniversary. Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Spain, David and Denise Rhodes as they go place by place now in deputation. We hope to have them soon with us. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano, Martha Ferretti, Dante and Maruja Rabines, Jose and Diane Avila, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, the Christian Athletic Association, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey as they serve in the motorsport ministry. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you allow us to be a witness here, a witness in the radio, a witness in the internet, a witness in the CD ministry and in the tape ministry. And then through the life of these people, and we pray that each of these missionaries be faithful to your word, so the impact of the gospel be powerful in the hearts of people. Bless us this morning as we continue to praise you, as we continue to say good things about our Savior, and as we look later on into another page in the life of this Lady Esther, who reflects the godliness of God in this powerful lady. Lord, thank you for the provision of your people. You know our budget, and you know our need, and we pray that your people also may know them and provide accordingly. So bless the giver and bless the offering in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Time for an evangelism update. Got a good word for you guys. I want you to hear these words. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I want you to hear these words too. Go you therefore and teach all nations. Now I want to read now something else. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, Amen. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Now, in this first circumstance, we have Jesus Christ saying this, our commanding officer, right? This is not a suggestion. Me and my friend over there, we were having lunch, we were talking about this. This is a direct order from a commanding officer. Now we have the apostle Paul, who's kind of like, you know, he's one of his officers, and now he is telling us the exact same thing. This is what I want to say. I work at a place where we have managers, and then we have people who are under that manager. Now, if that manager goes and tells to me something that I don't want to do, for example, Chris, go and clean the bathrooms. Make sure the toilet is nice and clean. I don't go and say, you know what? I don't really have a gifting for that. I don't really feel led to do that. No. If that is what I have to do, then that is what I have to do. Whether I like it or not, whether I'm trained in it or not, I know that I have in here the ability to do what I've been requested to do. And the thing is, outside in the world, all these people are like dirty toilets. I'm going to say it as strong as that. That is how repulsive their sins are to God. It's like a dirty toilet. And this is the only thing that's going to be able to get them clean. And it's the only thing that's going to save their souls. And if you have the only thing that's going to be able to help them, please, you guys, I really want you to do this. You really need to go and preach the word. This is not something that is just like, you know, it's not a hobby or anything. It's really serious. I really want you guys to understand how important it is. It's not something that's just, this isn't just a job or a club or something. This is really helping people who have horrible problems. People who've been raped, people who've been abused as children. And I just want you guys to please, in any way that you guys can, please do what you can for the Lord. It's the most important thing we can do with the time we have. We spend so much time concerned about our reputations and our possessions and things like that. And we don't just focus on what He's given us to do. And I'm just seeing more in my life how much we need to do this. It's more important than anything you guys have in your minds. So just, we have two people in this church who are so inspired that they even in their own personal time, they've bought Bibles and they've given them to be distributed. And at the first of the month, we're going to have an offering. If you want to give a Bible, give a Bible. If you want to offer 10 bucks, do that. If you just want to, in your own time, start dedicating 10 minutes every day to just going out into the public and just trying to share the word with people, please just do that. Please, please, because it shows that we don't love anybody. It shows that we don't care about what God has told us, and it shows we don't honor His word when we don't do it. Please, please, please. And I charge you by Him.
Thank you, Brother McCann. And thank you for exposing your heart to us. A heart for evangelism and something that God has charged us to do. Thank you also, choir, for the beautiful songs today. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Esther. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 596. We will be reading Esther chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's word? Esther chapter 2, the entire chapter. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shemai, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadashah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Hegai, the keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her, out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women into the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Saasha, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the son of Mordecai, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you that you have given us your Son. We thank you that you have given us the Scriptures, and that your word is forever settled in heaven. We are grateful to know that your word declares that your providence extends to the smallest things and also to the great things of history, to the rise and fall of nations and rulers and governments, pertains to the universe and world history. You, our Lord, our Father, are in charge of everything, and we thank you that all things are upheld by the word of your power. Because we are your people, we place all our trust in you, knowing that when you chasten us, when necessary, you are working for our ultimate good. We pray for resolve that our conduct would always show we are your people and that your name be glorified through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray now for our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he comes to teach from the Scriptures those great truths that lead the way to eternal life. And if there are any listening here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD who do not know you, we pray that they would come to believe the gospel and follow Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
I encourage you to take a Bible again and open your Bible, of course, to Esther chapter 2. That would be our meditation this morning. The book of Esther portrays the invisible presence of God, but also the presence of God in two people who were godly, Mordecai and Esther. And that's how much God needs, only two people to save within the largest empire of the world, the nation of Israel. Just God needs two people who will follow him. At the beginning, when I start the book of Esther, I give you a summary on God's invisible providence. The book of Esther relates a simple story that the people of God were ready to be destroyed and terminated, but the intervention of one godly man and one godly woman and the intervention in the affairs of this kingdom by God changed the entire outcome, and which indicate that God cannot be frustrated in any event. In chapter 1, we saw the uneventful beginnings but incredible endings. Nothing was, generally speaking, very, very large in consideration, but there was an incredible ending in that chapter. Now, today, we'll consider chapter 2. And I'm going to, at the end of the chapter, as I always, with a book of history, you have to build the history and then get to the doctrine at the end as the application. I'm going to end up in the teaching today by showing you six characteristics of a strength and dignity of a godly woman who changed the empire. Now, just to be truthful about this, I have to say that the Bible is full of great women. The Bible singles out each one of them, and I cannot list it for you, all of them, but I'm going to recall in your mind some women that the Bible singles out as a special. Eve, the first wife and mother of us all. Then Sarah, the wife of Abraham, the mother of Isaac, and the mother of the Jewish nation. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, who trusts the Lord and put Moses at the mercy of God. Hannah, the godly mother who cried for the birth of Samuel. Abigail, the gracious wife of Nabal. I don't know if you read the Old Testament. I encourage you to read the Old Testament. Abigail counseled Nabal not to be upset with King David, because King David was planning to chop his head off because he was a little upset about something. And Abigail counseled and saved his life. Deborah, Ruth, Elizabeth, and Mary, Jesus' mother. Each of these women has played a major part in God's plan and have left a mark in the entire world and in the history of the world. We will add to these ladies one that we study, Esther, all right? Esther, when we left Esther in chapter 1, was living in obscurity with her cousin Mordecai in the land of Persia. Nobody cares about her. King Ahasuerus, as you remember, was lonely and in need of affection and a long-term commitment. like people said, I'm looking for a wife. So they tell me this. I'm looking for a long-term commitment. The ladies especially, they tell me that to me. So I want to use, ladies, your words, and I want to say King Ahasuerus was looking for a long-term commitment. He maybe had 500, 600 women already for pleasure, but he is looking for someone for a long-term commitment. Now, here's the council then of the cabinet. You know, we don't have this, maybe Clinton did, but Mr. Bush don't call the cabinet to see which women he should get. But this is so important in Persia. So important. So important. You know, the most important affair in the life of the kingdom was we need to get a woman for the king. All right? That was the most important. Not the economics, not the war. You see how different Persians think? All right. Now, let's look on chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, and let's see the advice of the counselors to the queen, to the king. After these things, remember there were 4 years by, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, and he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. He cannot call her back. He's missing his wife. Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of the kingdom, that they may gather together all the good-looking virgins into Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, and to the custody of Haji, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for cosmetics and beauty be given unto them. Verse 4. And let the maiden which pleased the king be queen instead of Vashti, and the thing pleased the king, and he did so. You understand that? What I told you is just what the scripture says. The king said, I'm upset, my temper is bad, and the people say, I know, he needs a mommy around him. And so, let's get a young virgin that will please him and really enhance his life. And you saw what they said, let's have a selection so that you can have it. Here you have the Rose Bowl Queen, I call it. The Rose Bowl Queen, Miss America and Miss Universe, all roll into one, yet with a prize bigger than any of these people in America can offer. I suspect that women all over the land clamor for an opportunity to take part in this, except for one lady, Esther. Let me read it for you, verses 5-7. Look at what the scripture says. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Verse 6. Who had been carried away from Jerusalem with captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. These are the last people that left. You study Jeremiah, so you know this is the last people that left Jerusalem into captivity. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was incredible beautiful, said the original, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. He adopted her as a companionship. Now, what you don't see here, if you are American, but you need to read between the lines, is that Esther was in the minority. When my first job came in America, and I remember when I signed with the Navy, they said, oh, you are a minority. And I looked at my friend who translated for me, and said, minority is an insult in Spanish. And I said, telling him, he doesn't know who my father and grandfather was. He said, no, it had nothing to do with that. There is a law, you can get privilege if you are a minority. She was the minority, all right? She was a Jew. Her people, the Jew, came to this land as captive. I want to say it more. These people were the spoil war. The Assyrians can do anything they want with them. They were the spoil war. So imagine, who is Esther? So she is living an obscure life in shelter, of course, by a monotheistic home, Mordecai, who believed only one God. She was not caught up in the half of the beauty pageant that was there in the land. It is obvious, however, that her physical beauty attracted someone's attention as the search got underway. Look at verse 8. So it came to pass, the scripture, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens, many single virgin ladies, were gathered together into Shushan the palace to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. Now, the key word over there is the verb used in English, brought. All right? The original thought in this is she was taken. And the verb is not imperative, so therefore you cannot say that she was taken by force, but she was taken, and I'm very sure that Mordecai had to be informed and so on, but she was taken. Whether against her will or not, the word and the form of the words used do not indicate force, neither indicate convulsion, indicate that she was taken into the place. Now, can you imagine this scene? She is in an obscure home, little house there with her family, and now she's brought to the palace. All right? A lot of finalists, each young woman hoping with all her heart to have her place on the sun. So each full of women, beautiful women. Imagine the rivalries, the envy, the jealousy. Imagine how tough it will be to maintain a spiritual equilibrium when everything and everyone around you emphasize only the condition of shape and your body and beauty and your face. That was the only thing that they looked for. The shape of your body and the beauty of your face. And some young fellows, that's the only thing they look in life and they feel sorry about it later on. Shape in your body and beauty in your face. And here is Esther, a believer, in the midst of all of this. I cannot really think, because she was herself. She don't change. She said, this is what I am. She was a marvelous lady. Now, that is demanding. Is that right? That's awful demanding. Now, the whole scenario was temporary and really empty spiritually. Yet, in the midst of all of these, Esther through beauty emerges. I want you to see the word in verse 9. Esther chapter 2, verse 9, and see what caught the attention on her. Remember, Haggai is an expert in beauty. He's the one who keeps the harem for the king. He knows what is good looking or not good looking, what is good. And now I want you to look in the scripture and see what caught the attention of this man, Esther. Verse 9. And the young lady pleased him. And she obtained kindness of him, grace of him. And he speedily gave her things for beautification with such a thing as belonged to her. And 7 attendants. Can you imagine, wife? You have in your home 7 women to take care of you. 7 attendants. All right? The Arabs know how to do it, all right? 7 attendants, her and her maids, unto the best place of the house of the woman. Look at what the scripture said. out of the king's house, and he preferred, actually is, he changed places of her and her maids unto the best place of the king's house. This is what Haggai did. He saw her, and she found grace in his eyes. There is something about the face of the believer. You know that? There is something about the believer. I used to fly for 29 years for the radio. And I used to spend a lot of time between one airport and the other airport. And I had to entertain myself. I had to think, or I read, or I had to do something. I cannot sit down and sleep. I had to do something. So I got my paper and I said, let's see how many believers I found. And I was walking and walking. Sir, are you a believer in Christ? Oh, yeah, yeah. And shake the hand. And I thought, no, sir, I'm a lawyer. He doesn't know what a believer in Christ is. He told me he's a lawyer. But I'm trying to see if I can perceive in my spirit with the other spirit. Because there is something in the spirit of the believer that reflects that person inside. And she came in, said verse 9, the maiden came in, and this gentleman, this officer of the court, who knows how to select women, he was impressed. And the Bible said that she found grace. And he placed her not in the common place for selection. He said, oh, the king has a goody-goody place. And so he moved her over there, and he called 7 servants to help her. I'm old, so what I want to say to you, maybe some of you young people don't understand. Remember the old song, whatever Lola wants, Lola gets? Remember that song? This is the place where Esther is placed. Whatever she wants, she gets. This was the place where women had available to them all the jewelry, all the perfume, all the cosmetics, all the clothing needed to make them physically attractive and alluring to the lonely king. Whatever they want, they get. This was the place that will make Nordstrom and Tiffany and Saks Fifth Avenue and Neiman Marcus fade as insignificant. I don't know if you've ever been in those places, but I tell you, those places are nothing compared to this place. Yet, it is in this heady environment that Esther, God's lovely star, shined the brightest. The most difficult place to be is with rich people who care less about God. It is the most difficult place to be. The most difficult place to be is with people who are so rich, they have whatever they want to, so they need no God. And Esther is there. Like, hey, hi, everybody. Again, nothing happened. She had nothing to win, nothing to lose. So she's there. She does this by exhibiting 6 like traits of inner strength and godly dignity. And that's the sermon now. The 6 strength of a Christian that shows godly dignity. Now, I tell you, this exhibit number 1 was done in the worst place that can be done. It is not in church when you sit and everybody looks so Christian. No, no, sir. This is done in the worst environment where the temptations, they flow left and right. Don't tell me that, this was a place where she can be tempted to be number 1 herself. And then she never did. She never did. She already was number 1. She was godly. She don't need the approval of the world. So now we're going to go through the scripture. And we're going to compare a scripture. And we're going to see those 6 characteristics that should be yours and mine as we exhibit dignity in our Christian life. Number 1, Esther exhibit a grace-filled charm and elegance. A grace-filled charm was not her shortest care that attracted Haggai was not her open breast to show the breast they attracted her eye. Look at in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. I'm going to just write a little from the Hebrew. The verse 9 said, and the young woman is good in his eyes. That's how abruptal is the Hebrew. When he saw the young woman is good in his eyes. He saw a good woman. No, a good form. There is a word in Hebrew for that. But the Bible used here in verse 9, and the young woman pleased him. But the Hebrew used the word woman. He saw a young woman who was perfect within himself. Amazing. And she received grace before him. See, she never applied to be treated number one. That's what grace is. That's what your salvation is. You never apply to God and say, God, you saw me? You think I'm important to you? No. God saw us, how miserable we are, and like our brother said, how full of sin we are, and then God, and in spite of that, put grace on us and change all of us. And change all of us. That's what I saw. Now, I want you to look, put one hand in Esther, and go with me to the book of Proverbs. It's just right there. You got Psalms in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 12 and verse 4. And young ladies, look into this. This is what is going to make you number one in the world. Proverbs chapter 12. You are an Esther, you got Job, Psalm, Proverbs. All right? Chapter 12, verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. A virtuous woman. Doesn't say a beautiful woman. Doesn't say an attractive woman. Doesn't say a good shape up woman. Say a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. It's just amazing. Amazing. God's character and her life was tremendous. There was no sexual passion that moved Hidai for her. There was a look and a reflection of God's character and her life that conquered the officer of the court. He took a look and said, this lady is different. There is something inside this lady that changed the environment. There is some elegance from within. Boy, ladies, we need that. Some elegance of truthfulness, of kindness, gentleness, firmness. Some elegance of her character that were reflected in her face. And boy, she found grace before this evil place where she was. So first, she exhibited grace. She exhibited the grace of God on her. Secondly, Esther exhibited an unusual restraint and control. Look at with me in verse 10. Esther have not shown her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. She did not say, oh, I'm a Jew. She could, but she did not. Why? Because this man who is like her father said, you should not do it. She knew more than she told. She could have what is called in the Bible self-control. And I don't have the time, but if you go in your home in Galatians 5:23, the Bible said that one of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance, the King James Bible, which is self-control. You have control in how, what you said. And you have control. If somebody tell you, don't do that, you... And if somebody in authority over you, you don't do it. Young people, when your parents tell you, you cannot do that, that's the end of the story. That should be the end of the story. I told my daughter when she was young, you cannot ever date an unbeliever. If you date an unbeliever, I get it by the neck and finish. I'd rather be to jail than you go to marry an unbeliever. And I was serious. And she never did. And she never did. She never will contradict me. And I know there is a good training for her marriage. Tremendous. Esther exhibited an unusual restraint and control. Some respect. Ladies and gentlemen, Christianity grows in you, and as grows in you, shows respect for people. Respect for those who are in authority over you. Number three, Esther sustained a continually teaching spirit. I want to show you two verses. Verse 10, they are read. Esther have no show her people, no her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And look at verse 20 with me, same chapter, verse 20. Esther have not yet show her kindred, nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her or instructed her. For Esther did the commandments of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. Now she's no longer with Mordecai. She is independent. She is almost one step to be queen of the largest empire of this earth. Nevertheless, there is a respect for Papa. Do you see it? Esther, even though now almost a queen, even though the most powerful woman in the land, she stands still and follows her adopted father's instructions. Look at on chapter 31 of Proverbs. Put one hand in Proverbs. I want to use it. Chapter 31 of Proverbs. And verse 25. Is strength. Proverbs 31:25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Her honor was that she respect Papa. That was the honor of this woman. Esther sustained a continual teaching spirit. Not only she learned when she was in home, but after she was brought out of home, she keep on learning. Whatever Papa told me, that's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. Number four, Esther exhibited an unselfish modesty, an authentic life. Look at when verses 12 to 15, when go back to Esther chapter 2, verse 12 to 15, when the chamberlain said to her, whatever you want, she do not use the opportunity to benefit herself. She said, whatever is proper. Look at with me. Verse 12. Now, when every maid's turn was come to go in to the king Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of the beautification accomplished, to wit 6 months with oil and myrrh for your skin, and 6 months with sweet odors for your perfume, and other things to the beautification of the women. Then thus came every maiden, every young lady unto the king. Whatsoever she required was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. Now look in verse 14. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Shakshazad, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubine. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now look at verse 15. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king. She required nothing but what Haggai, the king chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that look upon her. She said, okay, so you have to go. What do you want? Whatever is required. Man, did that speak aloud? She does not succumb to the temptation around her superficiality. The selfishness, the seduction, the self-center. She display an unselfish modesty and authenticity amid unparalleled extravagance. I mean, this is the place to go really high, but she was cool. As you young people said, she was cool. Nothing will entice her. Nothing. Tremendous. Let me tell you. I believe that Esther went to see the king without fear because she had no driving ambition to be queen. Her life did not revolve around her physical appearance or making a king happy. That's not her goal. She was there for one reason. She knew the hand of God was on her life. And through circumstances and Mordecai's wisdom, she had been brought to this palace for a reason other than herself. That's why you were born. For a reason other than yourself. She knew where she was coming from, and she knew where God's hand was upon her life and was willing to be used of God without her helping God to do so. She knew her position. She knew that without God she was nothing. And so therefore she let God do everything. My friend, when I applied to work, I never was afraid of anything. I just told the truth, what diplomas went in. One time I got a letter saying, how come you have all these degrees? So I took them from the wall and I went to see them. So I got it. What are you going to do? He said, man. So what you did in your life? I studied. So easy. You read a book, it's in your heart, you pass the time, boom. Study is not hard. Living is hard. Study is not hard. So young people, you shoot to the highest degree. When you go to university, you don't go to a little thing. You go to really high because you can do it. Living at that level is difficult. Living the Christian life is difficult. No, study. So Esther was a humble lady. Cool. Cool, man, cool. Fifth, I'm learning from you, Chris. All right. Esther modeled a kind of attractiveness regardless of her surrounding. Look at verse 15 with me. He said, now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go into the king, she required nothing but that Haggai, a king chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that look upon her. She never pressed for anything. Look at verse 16. So Esther was taken unto the king Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Can you imagine? From a tiny little hutch place where she used to live. Now this is 1 year and 10 months later. 1 year for her beautification. 10 months to wait for her turn. 1 year and 10 months later, she looked on it. All of it. Now she's just walking. Hi, everybody. Like nothing happened. Look at verse 17. And the king doesn't say, and the king was impressed with her beauty. Oh, she has a nose so beautiful. I hear the boy said, oh, I like this girl. She has good looking eyes. I don't tell you, son, also they tell me. All right, here it is. And the king loved Esther above all the women. Love Esther. No, when after Esther with passion, love Esther. Hamor. Love Esther, which is a word to indicate his heart went out. And the king loved Esther above all the women. And she obtained grace. You like it? Looks like a salvation plan, don't it? And she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti, before she sleep with him. Because she had to sleep one night and put that. The Bible says she came in, he said, this is it. Boom! You are queen. What? Yeah, you are queen of Persia. A person who is attracted draws you to him or to her. We are intrigued by the person charming and gracious in spirit. I want to show you that there was one man in the Bible that just walked and you, like the Bible said, we don't know where his place was for sleeping. For he attracted the young people. Go with me to Matthew chapter 19. I'm talking about Jesus. Matthew chapter 19. Here is an example of attractiveness. Verse 13 and 14. Then there were, Matthew 19, verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hand on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You know, little children you cannot fool. You go to a house, visit a house, and there are children, and you see how they look to you. They look to you like this. Who is this? But if a child comes to you, it's reading you okay. You're okay. And when Jesus walked, his attractiveness, was his peace, his joy was so full that the children want to be with him. In other words, you don't have to dress up like $1 million to be attractive. Actually, you have to dress up your heart like $1 million to be hard. Actually, you need to ask God to dress up your heart with grace. Number six, Esther display humble display for authority. Look at in chapter 2 of Esther, verse 18 to 20. A humble display for authority. Now she's queen. Ladies and gentlemen, she's queen. You know, she said to the king, darling, I want this. You think King Ahasuerus will not invent a missile to go to the moon and get it? He will. Now look, she's queen. No, not just a regular king. Not the wife of a president. She is queen. Remember Nehemiah? She sit beside the king and said, give to him everything. All right. Everything went to Nehemiah. She's queen. She's a lady. Verse 18. Then the king made a great feast unto all the princes and his servants, even Esther feast. And he made a release to the provinces and gave gift according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther, verse 20, had not yet shown her kindred, nor her people, as Mordecai has charged her. For Esther, the commandments of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. This is the second time the scriptures say that. And when the scripture repeats something, it's for some reason. And that's my emphasis. Esther displayed a very humble display of authority. Many people, they seem to think that when you marry, you no longer need to remember your parental advice, especially in America. You marry and who cares about what your parents said? It's not that awful. Or when you get out of your own house and you are totally and completely on your own, like some of you will be very soon this week as you go to college. You think for yourself and do whatsoever you want. I sat with Jacqueline and explained how to work on Skype so that I can know everything that happened. And she needed to hear from me. She needed to hear from Mama and she needed to hear from Papa. She had 3 guns on her. That's safe. Parents, do not send your children and relieve yourself because you are by a surprise within 1 or 2 years. Do not relieve your children out of your custody. They marry, you're still visiting them and watch it. When I was married, I lived 30 kilometers, which is a lot, from Buenos Aires. There, about 20 miles, but it's a lot. It takes an hour and a half in train. But my aunt came every week. My aunt Leontina, one of those Esthers that God had in my life. And she will come with my chocolate and some potato sweet things that you don't know, you don't have it here. Dulce de batata. And she will have some special cookies and everything. And she said, oh, here it is, my son. And then she will take Raquel outside and talk. I saw her talking to Raquel like this. She dressed like a nun. She was widow, 41. She said, I never marry again. I serve the Lord until I die. And she walked with Raquel and so on. And she looked in the house. And said, and then outside she said, you need money? So I haven't. She said, no. Here it is. She took the bus and took an hour and a half trip back home. I came to America. You think my aunt left? No. Every week I have a letter. 4 or 5 pages. I know you. Boy, she writes everything. And I read those letters and made me cry. You think a man will not honor that? You think a man will not honor when his father dismissed him in the airport and never saw him again? And he says, son, there's only one thing I require. That you never ask for money. You will work for whatever you are. You think a man will not honor that? You think I will take a trip 6,800 miles away? I will not honor my father? I don't know what welfare was. I don't know if they fire from your job, you can ask for money someplace. I don't want any money from anybody. I want my money that God provides. Now, this is Esther. We have an example in Esther. Even in becoming the queen of the land, she remembered the wisdom of her guardian and willingly considered his counsel. And I hope that you do as well, young people. That as you grow up, you consider the wisdom of your parents. So that you avoid mistakes that will take time to correct it. Or damage your life. I can tell you one after the others. When I was 13, how my father instructed me how to study, how to do this, how to do the other, and what books to look on, and so on. And I negotiated with him. He said, you have to be an engineer. I said, but I like this other thing. Well, I study two universities at the same time. One you pay, another I pay. In other words, do you young people have a nice talk with your parents all the time? Do you share with them, look, I have this situation. What do you think about it? With your parents. And your parents better open the Bible to them and say, son, daughter, this is what God said. And I want you to do what God said. But my father told me to work is in 1 Thessalonians 4, remember? If you do not work, this is a simple law. I wrote so many times to President Clinton that law. I said, this is it. If you don't work, you don't eat. Period. And people here in town, around, some of them think I'm cruel because I said, you work? No. Well, if you do a work, I give you money. Oh, but I don't have money. Well, that's what I mean. You can have money if you work. Well, I said, but you know, I need money. No, you need work. No money. Listen, the Bible is different. This is God's book. No wonder, when the book of Nehemiah almost come to an end, and they found, Ezra found the word. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the Bible said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Young people, it's not what we dress up. It is the Lord in our heart. Do you have the Lord in your heart? The joy of the Lord. I don't mean being a Christian by raising your hand and walking forward. I mean really receiving the grace of God that now you know in your heart that you're a different person and that you're going to shine for God's glory. That changed you all over. I don't have to change you. I don't have to have rules to change you. God does have the rules here with love and kindness. And as you read these rules, you start respecting your parents and respecting yourself. Respecting yourself. Somebody called me and said, I'm in drugs. So I feel so sorry. Drugs are not a problem. I said, what's the problem? You do not love yourself.
See, people without the grace of God, they have no idea. But you have the grace of God, some of you. And if you have the grace of God, will you show it to this world? So that another Esther will be there. Another Esther will shine. And when this city of Morgan Hill and San Martin and Gilroy and San Jose, when these cities start seeing Esthers, the whole world will change. The whole world will change. Let us shine like Esther. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the goodness of one lady who shines with power, who has given us an example of humility, an example of what the grace of God does in our life. And she found grace in the eyes of the king. And we found grace in your eyes, Lord. We deserve nothing. We were bad, smelling bad. And we need that purification of your spirit and the purification of your word so that we, O Father, now need to smell to the world the goodness and the power of our God. Oh God, work in our heart in a marvelous way. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Children of the